And we are the Nonprofits. Hi, everybody. I'm your host, Jeff D. Our producer, Russell Glasser.
Hello.
And today's guest, Linda Raymond.
Afternoon.
I think Dennis LeBay should be in here a
little
later.
Oh, yeah? Did you talk to Dennis?
Yeah.
Cool.
He sounded like I had woken up when I called him, so.
He is a late riser, my friend Dennis. Mind you, I myself was quite late to getting to the show today.
Yes.
You may have noticed.
I did notice.
The fact that I put my ass in this chair about, 3 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Was sort of a giveaway. I blame City of Heroes.
Okay, good game, huh?
I'm in the beta test of City of Heroes, which for those of you listening who don't know what that is a massively multiplayer online superhero game where you make your own superhero, run around and fight crimes. I want you to know I was making our city's streets safe.
Oh,
that's why I was running late.
Yeah, I'm hoping I'll get into the World of Warcraft beta soon, but
oh yeah.
A pretty popular one.
Are you signed up for that?
Yes, I am.
See, with City of Heroes, they had for $10 at the computer store, you could get the pre-release copy, which guaranteed you entry into the beta test.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got in. Dennis is in it, too.
Sweet. Maybe I'll have to come over sometime.
Get some of his stories. Today is April 10, 2004. Today's opening music, you may have recognized from a couple of episodes ago, was Battle Without Honor or Humanity by Tomoyasu Hotai from the Kill Bill Volume 1 soundtrack. And I think I'm going to stop trying to play a different song at the start of every episode. I've gone through my entire CD collection about 3 times now, trying to get, either atheist songs or songs relevant to themes of shows that we were doing, and I just think at this point it's going to get repetitive anyway, so why not bite the bullet, take the best song that we got, and use that for our theme. So that's it. Thank you everyone for listening. Welcome to all the people sitting in the chat room live today. How many people we got in chat?
I haven't counted yet.
Okay.
However, I posted a message on an Al Franken fan site right before I came in.
Yeah.
So if there are any regular Air America listeners out there, hi, and join in the chat.
Looks like there's 24.
Okay.
We have an estimate of 24 from entering in the chat room. Hi, everybody, and thanks once again to the Atheist Network for hosting our program. Okay, so who's got news? Me?
Well, has everyone by this time heard about the whipping of the Easter Bunny in Glassport, Pennsylvania?
I'm sure we all want that story. Do you have the Easter Bunny whipping?
Yes, I do have the Easter Bunny whipping, although I was hesitant to print it out at first because it really, really looked like one of those things that's written on something like The Onion and somebody else picks it up. But it's been on so many news sources that it qualifies as news now one way or the other.
Well, it's being distributed by the AP.
Yeah.
Shall I read it? Or do you
can.
A church in western Pennsylvania trying to teach about the crucifixion of Jesus performed an Easter show with actors whipping the Easter Bunny and breaking eggs, upsetting several parents and young children. Well, if you want to convert people to Christianity, you got to break a few eggs. People who attended Saturday's performance at Glassport's Memorial Stadium quoted performers as saying, "There is no Easter Bunny," and described the show as being a demonstration of how Jesus was crucified.
Oh, so the people whipping the Easter Bunny were good guys in this case. They were like, the Jesus faithful who said, "Take that, Easter Bunny! How dare you steal the thunder from our Lord?"
Something like that, yeah. Though, again, depending on what flavor of Christian you're talking to, so were the Roman guards.
Yeah.
Because if they had refused to whip Jesus, he'd have been standing there going, guys, I really need you to whip me within an inch of my life. There's this magic trick we're trying to pull. Melissa Salzman, who brought her 4-year-old son JT, said the program was inappropriate for young children. "He was crying and asking me why the bunny was being whipped," Salzman said. Patty Bickerton, a youth minister at Glassport Assembly of God, said the performance wasn't meant to be offensive. What the hell?
You're coming up on my favorite bit with the self-mutilation and the drunk. I want to know how those fit in.
Hang on. It's the same story, unfortunately, in all the different places I found it. It's the exact same text, so there is no explanation of those things.
I know, it's
frustrating. When we get to them in a minute. I want to know how you do a show where you rip a cartoon bunny and say it wasn't meant to be offensive. If it was not meant to be offensive, then the people who put it on are morons.
Yeah, like claiming that you were doing it in a spirit of irreverence makes everything good.
What would people, if you turn on Bugs Bunny, right, they blow people up with cannons and dynamite and stuff, and drop chandeliers on people's heads, right?
Well, but that's
not meant to be offensive. Never once is Bugs Bunny bent over and whipped. Not once.
BNAM in the chat room would like to know what your superpowers are, Jeff.
Ah. Well, it depends which character. At least in the beta test, you can have 8 different characters per server. Though, once a name is taken, it's completely taken. Like, they have unique names across all the different servers. My main character is Shatterman, and I am a... They have these weird power classification things. I'm an energy projector kind of guy. I have, like, energy blasts and energy fists.
Like,
and I
Pikachu.
Just hit 6th level, huh?
Just like Pikachu.
Not just like Pikachu. Pikachu has electrical
blasts. Let
me get
my whip.
Come on. But I just hit 6th level, which is the point at which you can acquire the flight, the lowest level flight power. So I'm flying now, which is awesome. Completely awesome. Anyway, so I hope that that answered his question. We will talk more about City of Heroes as the day rolls on, I'm sure. So you whip an Easter bunny in front of some kids, and then you claim you weren't trying to be offensive. Well, you know, the only way you could not mean to be offensive is if you've got no grasp of what constitutes offense. Bickerton portrayed the Easter rabbit and said she tried to act with a tone of irreverence. Yeah, again. There's irreverence, and then there's, like, you know, twisted S&M. And when you got a bunny, the woman in a bunny suit being whipped, that's twisted S&M.
Actually,
no offense to our S&M fans out
actually,
there.
Actually, I think I'd kind
of
like
that. But you in the privacy of your own homes.
Seeing that.
You what? Huh?
I think I'd kind of like seeing that now that you put it that way.
Only if eventually, you know, the costume comes off. The program was for all ages, not just the kids. That makes it okay. Yeah, you know, we were going to do this happy, you know, happy Easter morning bunny program with colored eggs and hoppy rabbits and stuff. But then we thought, there's going to be adults there. We better put in some S&M.
I'd like to see if this church will put out a Christmas special one of these days. You know, sort of like, oh, hi there, Rudolph. How are you? Hi, Santa. Come over here.
What?
Ow!
America's funniest home whippings. Performers broke eggs. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Program is for all ages, not just the kids. We wanted to convey that Easter is not just about the Easter Bunny. It is also about Jesus. It is about Jesus Christ. Well, yeah, but...
It's about a lot of gods when you get right
what
down
image?
To it.
Okay, you have your Easter ceremony, right? On the one hand, you talk about Jesus. On the other hand, you whip the Easter Bunny. Which of those images are the little kiddies going to be taken home?
I don't know.
Are they going to think Easter's all about?
I think if they're going to whip...
Easter was the day when God instructed mankind to whip little woodland creatures.
I think that if they're going to whip the Easter Bunny, they ought to put Jesus, like, wearing a pink tutu running around laying eggs.
Easter Bunny doesn't lay eggs, man. There's a basket.
Yeah, well.
Performers broke eggs meant for an Easter egg hunt. Now, that's nice. Because, you know, Easter eggs are yummy. Like, you know,
No comment on that.
It's like having Halloween and like, you know, ooh, kids, look, here's all the candy that you could have had if we hadn't crushed it with a sledgehammer.
I don't know. We never ate any eggs we found at Easter egg hunts.
No?
No.
Why?
Because they were always usually warm and spoiled by that time.
Oh. Well, if you find them right away. They broke eggs meant for an Easter egg hunt and also portrayed a drunken man and a self-mutilating woman. Because that's great for the kids.
See, now that's what I want to have explained. How did those fit in?
Self-mutilating woman.
A flagellant, I suppose. Maybe she was just jealous of the Easter bunny and that was her job.
Oh, flagellant. Said Jennifer Norelli Burke, another parent who saw the show in Glassport, a community about 10 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. It was very disturbing, Norelli Burke said. I could not believe what I saw. It wasn't anything I was expecting. Christians are really getting into this whole, like, pulling a fast one, switcheroo, you know. Let's have a motivational thing for the kids, you know, with happy clowns. Nope, you get there, and it's an invitation to church.
And the crowns are crying. The crowns are clowns are crying.
The crowns are crying?
Yes. Well, Chris, I mean, they just got a history of doing really scary stuff. Easter seems to bring out the masochism in them. You're familiar with what they do? I guess it's in the Philippines. They actually put on crowns of thorns,
yeah.
And they put stocks. And I was listening
to an
interview.
They get themselves nailed to crosses.
I was listening to an interview with one of them, and he was talking about how he loved walking and feeling the thorn biting into his flesh because every drop of blood was just that much more love for God.
Ew.
Yes,
ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Dennis Lube.
Yes.
Hello. Hello.
You might want to check Dennis's sound level there.
I'll do it while
Dennis
he talks.
That's right.
So there you go. But what is with this? I mean, it's one thing to say, to try to spin the completely unfair claim that because this guy voluntarily had himself tortured and you benefited from it, but therefore, you owe him something.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially since he would have
been tortured. Because you can't make people owe something
dad.
By doing them favors. Right?
But don't forget, the reason for the need of this favor was his dad getting angry in the first place.
Right.
Well,
so that was no favor.
They keep saying it's a gift.
Yeah.
But gifts do not carry obligations.
Right.
By definition.
Right.
If it's a if it carries an obligation, then it's a payment.
Exactly. And these you're
for
expected
services.
To pay for services you didn't order.
Right.
What if you wanted to go to hell?
And of course, when you have no choice for payment, that's when we start calling it extortion.
Yeah.
That's right. Nice savior you got over here.
Love me or go to hell.
Pity
yeah,
or something
right.
Must have happened to him.
If somebody else said,
but, oh, wait,
love me or I'll
happened.
Shoot you.
But that's the thing.
You wouldn't think that was love. You'd think that was twisted hate.
But sense the passion. Where it's becoming more and more obvious that Christians are like, they get off on the violence. They get off on the blood and
yeah.
The pain and the torture.
They're not just saying, oh, it's such a terrible thing that Jesus had to go through all that. They're going, oh, what a glorious thing he did. You know, it's like, good grief. Yeah, it's really sick.
And then, of course, they try to equate his few hours of suffering to entire lifetimes that humans go through,
mm-hmm.
Like George Ann, who still hasn't responded on the news group yet. You were
What's this all about?
Something going on at AA at the moment?
Yeah, no, yeah. You,
the alt atheism news group?
Yeah.
Correct. No, in fact, you sent a message to her just yesterday.
Did I? I don't really usually look who I respond to. I just look at the message and go, oh, yeah?
Well, she's one of those people who's arguing that it's not temporary. It was not a temporary inconvenience.
Oh, right. And people are coming back with, yes, he was inconvenienced for 3 days for your sins. It's like...
Yeah, but see, that's the neat thing about all this blood and horror and stuff that they go through is at the end, you get to rule the universe.
That's right.
You know? That's what makes it
King
good.
Of the world. It's not
King
a
of the world.
That's right. King of the world, Ma.
I am reminded...
Deal of
the film version of the musical Little Shop of Horrors.
Mm-hmm.
Where the guy in the dental chair telling the story about the painful dental procedure he underwent, and then he got a candy bar. And so now he goes from dentist to dentist, having horrible, painful things done to his teeth, and getting off on it, yelling,
candy bar, candy bar, candy bar.
Bill Murray.
Bill right? Murray.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, this horrific pain, get something nice. And suddenly, the horrible pain is like
is
the
associated
prize.
With nice.
It's the prize unto itself.
Right.
Sick. It's just sick.
And it's institutionalized sickness.
Yeah. Does it seem to you guys like Christianity goes through these, I don't know, fads?
Because
I don't remember the whole wallowing in the blood of Jesus thing being this
so
openly embraced. Apart from, you know, you hear like places in the Philippines where people have been getting themselves crucified for years.
I happen to have, it's an incredible coincidence, I happen to have a New York Times editorial that I wasn't even sure I wanted to bring up.
Yeah? Is it relevant?
It's the return of the warrior Jesus.
Oh
boy.
Okay.
And I'll just read a little bit.
I didn't know
it.
They ever had one of those.
Oh, yeah.
What is this, the, not the writers?
Figure.
What was this whole thing about not bringing a sword?
Writers and artists have been imagining the second coming of Jesus for 2,000 years, but few have portrayed him wreaking more carnage on the unbelieving world than Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins. You know who they are. In their new apocalyptic novel, Glorious Appearing, based on Dr. LaHaye's interpretation of biblical prophecies about the second coming, there Jesus appears from the clouds on a white horse with a conviction like a flame of fire in his eyes. With all the gruesome detail of a Hollywood horror movie, Jesus eviscerates the flesh of millions of unbelievers merely by speaking. Kind of like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Glorious is coming, huh?
I'll skip a bit.
Yeah, that sounds
Scholars
boring.
Who study religion in American culture say the trend partly reflects the growing clout of evangelical Christians and the relative decline of liberal mainline Protestant denominations over the last 30 years. The image of a fearsome Jesus who will turn the tables on the unbelieving earthly authorities corresponds to a widespread sense among many conservative Christians that their values are under assault in a culture war with the secular society around them. The shift coincides with a surging interest in biblical prophecies of the apocalypse around the turn of the millennium, which we all know fell really flat. The terrorist attacks of September 11th and the two wars with Iraq. And the warlike image of Jesus also fits with President George W. Bush's discussions of a godly purpose behind American military actions in Afghanistan and Iraq. There are also signs of the same shift in Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion. When you see him stand up at the end of the movie, he reminds you of Schwarzenegger, said Stephen Prothero, a religion professor at Boston University and author of American Jesus, A New Cultural History. I think that movie shows a more of a macho Jesus who in this case is brutalized instead of brutalizing. So it's not your imagination, Jeb, or if it is, a lot of other people have imagined the same things.
But it was also
that's a different fad, right?
Mm-hmm.
One fad is, hey, check out all this blood. Ain't that cool? And this one is, you know, yeah, we're going to take those unbelievers and strip the flesh off them. By the way, as one of the aforementioned unbelievers that's mm-hmm. going to get his flesh stripped from his body by Jesus talking,
yeah,
I'm shocked.
No, you're not.
Well, if this was a book called Glorious Coming about Hitler's second coming and how he gasses more Jews, then people would be shocked. But it's just unbelievers, so it's okay.
Yeah.
But also this whole
like in Raiders of the Lost Ark, it was Nazis getting their flesh melted, so it was okay.
It was okay.
Well, are any of y'all familiar with Billy Sunday, I believe his name was? He was a preacher back around the 1800s, early 1900s.
Did he strip flesh from people's bones?
No, but he was an ex-boxer, and he would actually challenge people who disagreed with him or didn't believe in Jesus to come up and fight him over it.
Oh, he would have wanted to strip the flesh from.
Yeah, that was his whole thing. Was he had the exact same idea of Jesus there? The two-fisted. In fact, he was two-fisted son of a gun. He had this massive revivalist. And if anybody's ever read Babbitt, he was the parody of him was in there. I think they called him Billy Monday in that.
Wow.
But he was a real preacher who was just one of the forerunners of this entire Tim LaHaye bit of garbage.
Interesting. I think the trends are related. I mean, the blood and the
well, it's all this extreme evangelistic sort of.
Yeah, it's a Jesus who kicks ass.
Yeah, you know how we got there? Largely.
Tell me how we got there.
Via the Promise Keepers, that went at Christianity from a sports perspective.
They did.
Yeah.
The
Promise Keeper events, well, first of all, the guy who ran it was this retired football coach.
Uh-huh.
And their, excuse me, in the articles I've read about what went on at their meetings, it was all full of sports imagery. And sports, of course, is just a metaphor.
It's all competition.
Yeah, it's a metaphor for war.
Right.
And aren't the Promise Keepers the ones who are obsessed with the idea of men regaining their manhood and...
Yeah, women getting the hell back in the kitchen.
Yeah, and stomping the wives, making them submissive. So this is just sort of reclaiming Jesus' manhood.
Yeah, it's extremely sick. Well, the whole thing is, honey, I promised that I would be in charge and order you about when we got married.
Yeah, they talked in terms of protection.
And I have fallen short of my promise. The whole Promise Keepers thing is, I promised that I was going to be the boss. And I'm going to keep that promise, so shut the fuck up.
Yeah, well, I promise you can sleep on the couch tonight.
Terrible. Terrible, terrible.
Yeah.
Very bad.
I was going to say, I'd never even thought of the connection between those two, because I'm familiar with the Promise Keepers and how dreadful they are.
They are pretty dreadful.
Well, they're, yeah.
Now, I heard for a while that their membership was way down, and I haven't seen them much in the news lately.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's faded, but it's moved on then from, you know, the sports analogy to this military analogy, right?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they all signed up for the Army.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well. So, any real related news, or shall I go on to what I've
related.
Got?
No.
Sort of peripherally connected.
Not really.
Passion of the Christ inspires wave of crime confessions.
Wow, a wave.
A wave meaning about, there was a second one, or a wave meaning there were a whole bunch of them?
As far as I know, there's been two.
Four.
Now we know that four constitutes a wave.
Critics of Mel Gibson's controversial blockbuster, The Passion of the Christ, have expressed fear the film would spark an outbreak of violence. When? Did anybody ever hear? I mean, that there was concern that it would inspire a wave of anti-Semitism, which of course would eventually end in violence.
Right.
Well, it did murder two people, but that's...
I think that's probably what they're referring to.
Yeah, but there. I should mention this is a very biased article, so expect more of that.
Where did it come from?
I forget.
Okay.
But instead, it continues to prompt criminals from burglars to murderers to confess to crimes committed as long as a decade ago. The fourth recent instance of confession to a crime was reported yesterday in Mesa, Arizona, where a man walked up to police Sunday at the scene of a burglary and confessed to the break-in as well as five or six others. He had made some mention that after watching the Mel Gibson movie, that was his motive for turning himself in, said Mesa Police Detective Ruben Quesada, according to the East Valley Tribune in suburban Phoenix. It is a first, Quesada told the paper. Well, no, it's a fourth, moron. Meanwhile, at least three other confessions have been reported in relationship to the film. In Norway, a neo-Nazi confessed to two decade-old bombings after watching Gibson's depiction of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. Near Houston, a man seeking redemption confessed to killing his girlfriend. We did that story last time. In Florida, a fugitive from a bank robbery 2 years ago said he turned himself into police after watching Gibson's film. Makes you stop and think.
Yeah. What are the kind of people who watch that movie?
Yeah.
Are they offering corroborative evidence, or are they just popping up and saying, I did this, take my trust?
Yeah, maybe they're like one Bill wonders. Murray. They just
maybe
like,
they're
get
like
off
Jesus.
On going to jail.
Maybe they want to be punished for something that they're not guilty of.
Yeah, this could be a way of getting notoriety or getting in good with their church. I mean, at least the Nazi was a Christian, so he had that excuse, I suppose.
In the Arizona case, Turner Lee Bingham, 20, walked up to a Mesa store about 8 minutes after the alarm sounded and apologized to police for taking $80 from the register before confessing to 5 or 6 burglaries at the other places. Wait a minute! I was thinking, as I read this, okay, he did the robbery, went to see the movie, next morning shows up at the crime scene. No! He was only away 8 minutes! So he'd already seen the film and then did a bank robbery.
Or was just walking down the street and just took advantage of it.
Or else he didn't do it in the first place. And there's some bank robber doing the little dance of glee.
Look at this person taking the bat for me. Woo-hoo.
I guess I owe him something.
Was that a reference to Barabbas in the movie?
Yes, that was a Barabbas reference.
Because okay. Not everybody's seen the movie, you know. I can't help being reminded, though, of like a Sesame Street skit where they had the young George Washington doing the famous cherry tree scene.
Yeah.
And he says, I can't tell a lie, Father. I chopped down the cherry tree. And the dad goes, oh, it's okay, George. Like, really? Okay. And then he goes and chops down another one. He says, I can't tell a lie, Father. I chopped down that one, too. And finally, the father just goes after him.
Bingham had seen The Passion with his mother, and he felt guilty, the store owner, Tobias Bright, said, the police told him. I've seen the movie myself, Bright told KNXV-TV of Phoenix. This is the store owner now. I think it's the kind of movie that makes you stop and think about things for a minute.
For a minute.
Well, it's a good thing that minute happened days later in the 8 minute span between the time he did the robbery and the time he turned himself back in. Because if he had stopped and thought for a minute during the film, he'd have been out and robbing and had that thinking behind him.
Yeah.
I should point out that our show makes you think for more than a minute, and it doesn't take us 2 hours to get around to it. We do it an hour and a half.
Matter of fact, we often make you think of about 15 different things during the course of the show.
That's just no one the kind the flesh of show we are. Bones.
Yes.
You know what you're reminding me of is when I went to the dentist myself a few weeks ago, the assistant there, when she's coming at me with all those little pointy things that said that she had already seen The Passion twice, and she had been thinking about it a lot. You know,
How did this come up?
She just mentioned it out of the freaking blue. I couldn't believe it.
She's coming at you with some pointy implements saying... You know, I recently watched The Passion of the Christ.
Exactly. She hasn't invited any attention to going to see it.
Wow.
And what we give you is a genuine gift. We don't expect anything in return.
Bright, who identified himself as a Christian. There you go, once again. This is the bank robber.
Right.
Christian bank robber
had been robbing all the time.
Not
robbing
identified
repeatedly.
As a Christian bank robber in the story, I'll bet.
No, never.
Unlike when you see, like, it says Muslim terrorist or
and
something like that. You don't see, like, Christian bank robber.
And he has done 6 or 7 burglaries. Not bank robbers. Just
yeah,
burglaries. 6 or 7 burglaries, according to his confession. All but one of which apparently happened before seeing The Passion. Unless he saw The Passion and has committed some other burglaries that he didn't feel so guilty about. And it was only this one where luckily that minute of thinking occurred and he said, oh, crap!
And it was in Mesa, Arizona? We're going to have to follow up and see if he was really found guilty.
Bright, who identified himself as a Christian, said he wished Bingham would have felt guilty 20 minutes earlier before he took a baseball bat to one of my windows. But he said, if you're going to be burglarized, I don't think it could turn out any better.
Yes.
All right.
Given that you're going to be burglarized, if the guy comes back 8 minutes later and says, here's my stuff, you know, here's your stuff back, yeah, that's about as good
apparently
as
that. Apparently, he doesn't
if
think
you don't,
it is.
If you don't assume that you're going to be burglarized, I would think that not being burglarized
is even better.
Right,
yes.
That's true. But apparently, he must think it would violate some law of physics if the thief came back within, oh, say, 7 minutes. Wouldn't that be better?
No.
The Norwegian neo-Nazi Johnny Olsen, 41, went to police after watching the movie, explaining he was responsible for unexplained bombings against anarchist squatters in Oslo in 1994 and 1995.
Oh, there is a way to handle anarchy. Bomb them.
Yeah, the anarchists didn't bomb him right back? The trigger that made him go to police and confess was that movie, his lawyer, Fritjof Fate, told Reuters on Monday. Olsen had long been concerned with issues such as reconciliation and redemption. We read that in the other story,
nice.
Didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd long been concerned with them, but didn't think about them for a minute until after he saw this film.
Concerned with all that stuff, but boy, you know, not when he was planting those bombs, I guess.
You know, some other interesting facts looking for that story would be, were the police almost on his trail anyway? Does he think it's going to be to his benefit to pretend to have been so religious that he's turning himself in? I mean, how close were they to finding him?
Don't know.
Or is that just being too skeptical?
That is a fair question.
You have to consider these issues, but,
it's like,
you know, when you come down to it, you have to, I mean... You can't just assume that there are no cases where some complete bastard has only the threat of hell. We had this discussion on the last show.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I want to say, speaking as a costume crime fighter, that I don't want the crooks coming back 8 minutes later and confessing. I want them pulling out a gun and blasting at me so I have an excuse to go at it with my energy rays. And then, if they run, I want to chase them down and pummel them into submission.
Right, sure.
We already had a discussion
yes.
of City of Heroes
okay,
before
good.
You got here.
But were
and
you
that's
a-
why I'm late. So, anyway.
Was it? Yeah. I was here 5 minutes before airtime.
God.
Going after, who are those guys in City of Heroes that are the
Hellions.
Like robed cultist guys?
I don't know.
For some reason, they got Shadow Man going after those people.
Oh, boy.
Back to the news.
Anyone outside of this.
We explained City of Heroes to them. They know what we're talking about. Oslo's Lutheran Bishop Gunnar Stålstedt maintained his insistence that the film glorifies sadism and torture.
Well, he's correct.
This does not change my view that the film is in the slightest, he told Norwegian daily Verdans Gang, according to Reuters. Oh, so.
They have a bloody movie. Supposedly as people confess.
Yeah, of course, sometimes being religious causes you to do some not-so-nice things, which kind of balances out the nice things that some people do.
So let's see.
Four people
have confessed since seeing the movie. Now, how many Christians have
committed
burglarized
crimes.
And committed crimes after seeing the movie? Four compared to what?
Let's look at something that religion actually causes.
We'll do that as soon as I'm done with my story.
Oh, darn. Sorry.
We covered the...
I thought you were. There was
we
a big moment of silence and everything.
And it was a good note to end on with a bishop actually showing sense.
There's more. We talked about the Texas case. That's the murder conviction last show. In the Florida case, after more than 2 years as a fugitive from a bank robbery, James Anderson said he turned himself into police after watching Gibson's movie. The Palm Beach Gardens case had stumped police, but Anderson surprised investigators by walking into the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office lobby March 16, saying he was ready to give himself up. Anderson, 53, now admits he grabbed an employee of a Palm Beach Gardens bank in December 2001 and forced tellers to hand over $25,000, the Palm Beach Post reported. The sheriff's detective asked Anderson why he came clean after all this time. Anderson said he was stirred deeply after watching The Passion of the Christ. He said, I saw The Passion, and that made my decision. You know, I've noticed that none of these are direct quotes from the person. These are all secondhand from the people that captured him.
Hmm. Well, they're the only ones allowed to make statements, I guess.
Well, no, that's...
Oh, there was one from the lawyer. One from the lawyer.
Yeah, which is but still secondhand, but that's as close as it gets. But the lawyer was the one who was out of the country, too.
Yeah.
Right.
He chooses to look up on the U.S. ones, I'd imagine.
He said, I saw The Passion, and that made my decision, said Sheriff's Office spokesman Paul Miller, according to the Palm Beach newspaper. And he sort of urged the detective to see the movie, too.
Right.
After interrogating him at length...
Hopefully not with scourges and crowns of thorns. Yeah. Go ahead.
Palm Beach Gardens police suspect, however, the homeless man's surrender was much more calculated. He's looking for medical attention, and he doesn't have that he doesn't have to pay for. The Palm Beach Gardens Police Sergeant Richard Geist. That, and he's probably tired of living out on the streets. He's a homeless person, and he went to see The Passion of the Christ?
Yeah, that's like $8. Well, unless he caught a matinee.
Or just snuck in.
Or they go along going, you know, a spare change, I need $8 to see a movie.
You know, I got to say that that movie does not inspire a lot of confidence that you'll be treated well after being arrested.
No. I wonder how many of these guys are waking up next day in their prison cell and wondering why they're not ready to walk off camera into the sky.
Yeah. I wonder if there are any people who were planning to confess anyway, but then they go to see the movie and they're like, oh, shit, I don't want that to happen to me. So they change their minds.
Or they go, oh, hey, no, this guy's taking the fall already.
Oh, that too. Yeah, well, I guess there's no need for me to worry about my sins.
That's right. I'll be judged on Judgment Day. That's fine. I'll let it go there. Yeah. I'll do anything I want now.
Did you know something
else? Besides, you know, they missed the entire point. Entire point was Jesus died to forgive them of their sins.
Right.
If they had gotten the point of the film, they would just not feel any more guilt.
Right.
They
would be amoral.
They have been forgiven of their sins.
Right.
But did you know something else interesting in that story? Whether it was from the people themselves or from the reporter, each of them said the Passion made the decision for them. So even when they're supposedly confessing, they're not using their brain to do it.
Right.
They're still letting some religious thing think for them.
It's like saying.
Are you sure that's not from the World Net Daily?
It might be. Why?
I was just thinking. It sounds like the sort of thing they would run. No hard facts. Tries to pump up Christianity.
Wait, you're right. It was World Net Daily.
Figures.
You asked me earlier where the story was from.
Yeah.
World Net Daily.
But if four people...
Anyway,
it's like getting it off of Fox News. Mm-hmm.
There's a punchline.
Go ahead.
Ready? Amid these reports, a new documentary is in the works to prove The Passion of the Christ has produced miracles in the lives of its viewers. Oh, makers of Changed Lives, Miracles of the Passion, say they have interviews with people who claim the controversial film has changed them. They want more people for the documentary and ask on a website for stories of miracles such as a marriage being rescued. Yeah, because
you can't do that without a movie.
Yeah, and a miracle. It's
right. It's a miracle, right?
A loved one
miracle,
dropping dead.
Marriages never get, you know, reconciled
without divine
purely,
intervention.
Purely human physical
right.
forces. An addict who was set free, because nobody stopped taking drugs
right.
without seeing a movie. A Jew who now accepts Jesus as Messiah.
Oh, God.
Because that's a miracle, right? When you deprive somebody of their original belief system
right.
and get yours in their head instead.
A black man who is now white.
Right. Someone who experienced physical or emotional healing. Because, you know, nobody
can do that.
Recovers from emotional stress without seeing a Jesus movie.
Yeah, and plus, how can you verify that they actually recovered?
Right, really?
Yeah, bring me the person who regrew a severed limb after
right.
seeing The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah,
and I
there
will,
you go.
And document that, and I will agree that's a miracle. Executive producer Jody Eldred told MSNBC's The Scoop column, "We have gone to websites where there are in excess of 70,000 stories about how people were touched by this film, so we have plenty to choose from."
You could get that from a Star Trek convention.
That's right.
That's right. Touched by a Klingon.
I mean, you think that those people could not talk about how the optimism of Roddenberry changed their life or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, clearly, and Star Wars is maybe a better example because there's actual practicing Jedi in Britain.
This is true. Good for them.
So, four people constitute a wave.
Well, 70,000 constitute a wave.
Oh, right.
Well, I'm sorry, but those are just stories of something good happening to them after they saw the film. You're right. The wave was in reference to Confessions.
Yeah, so now we have to...
I saw The Passion, and then I found my car keys that I had misplaced earlier. Yes.
It's a miracle.
But are they counting the people who died as miracles? That was pretty miraculous. It was unexpected.
Yeah, why don't they have those guys? He went into the movie, but now he's dead.
No, but now they're experiencing eternal bliss, so...
Yeah, and the family who saw it with him, they're way past their emotional trauma.
They were touched by the film, so big miracle came down, right.
Daddy died in the movies. Isn't that great?
That's wonderful.
We're happy
He's
now.
In a better place now. A better seat.
You know, it looks
the
like...
The great balcony in the sky.
Look, you make
you
God
know,
cry.
It looks like it's starting to storm pretty hard. I was going to say, maybe this is an indication of what a show like ours can do.
That's right. Let's claim credit for the rain.
Yeah, if there's anybody listening to the show, either live in a recording, would you please send us your emails of the miracles that have occurred in your life after listening to the nonprofit's audio show here
for instance,
on the Atheist Network?
If it wasn't cloudy and now it is, or if it was cloudy and now it isn't,
yeah.
That's due to us. It's all due to us.
Yeah.
Anything different? Any change that occurred from before we started the show to now is considered a miracle from us. So,
or if you're
it.
Thinking about the show later and something nice happened, you know? That could be that minute that our show makes you think.
But if it's a bad thing that happened, it has nothing to do with us.
Also, it would be great, those of you who have done crimes, if you'd please go confess your crimes and say it was our show. We could really use the press.
The problem is with the millions of viewers that The Passion has, the statistical odds of them happening to catch somebody.
But they made a mistake in The Passion, right? It doesn't actually say, they don't flash a message on the screen, go confess your crimes now and credit
Maybe
this film.
They did.
We're doing that. That's why our success rate is going to be higher than theirs.
Okay.
We're taking the proper marketing approach. Would you like to do some news, Russell?
I would actually.
Go for
like
it.
You had a follow-up story.
Yes, I did. Yet another woman killed her kids within the last couple of weeks.
For Jesus as
and
well.
When I, yeah. Well, see, you don't even have to say that, because when I hear one of these stories come up, the first thing that goes to my head is, okay, when are we going to get to the for Jesus part?
Mm-hmm.
It's completely,
it's 100%
predictable. I have not heard any cases come up of atheists killing their kids, although if one does come up, boy, will that get a lot of press.
Yeah.
This mother, who lived right here in Texas, Tyler, Texas, claimed that God ordered her to bash in the heads of her sons with stones. Mm. Nice biblical.
Yeah, very biblical.
Nice biblical.
Because blessed
way of
are
doing
those.
It.
But she did it backwards. You're supposed to dash your little ones against the stones.
Yeah, well, I mean, throwing stones at them is also biblical.
Yeah.
She was acquitted of all charges by reason of insanity this week after a jury determined she did not know right from wrong during the killings. Let that sink in for a minute.
Yeah. People who think they hear God are insane.
And they don't know right from wrong.
And they don't
but
know
they never,
right from wrong.
Which is just what drives me
by
nuts.
By definition.
Is that conclusion is never reached until they've gone out and done some crazy, insane crime.
Right, because if you could actually predict, hey, you're hearing voices from God, let me get you professional help, they might not get around to killing their kids.
Right, but no, they hear voices from God, oh, you're so lucky.
Yeah. What? You killed somebody? You're not lucky, you're insane!
Suddenly.
Uh-huh.
A jury found on Saturday that Deanna Laney was legally insane on May 9th when she killed her two older sons, ages 6 and 8, in the front yard and left the youngest, now 2, maimed in his crib.
And what were the children's names? Weren't they good old-fashioned Old Testament names?
Oh, I bet they were. I mean, they were in all the other cases, but it doesn't say in this story.
Maybe we can put that on an intervention list. Look for people who name their children thus wise.
Yeah. Protect those kids who are named Jeb and...
Ezekiel.
Yeah. Laney broke into tears as the verdict was read. Her husband, Keith Laney, sat solemnly with his head down. A few jurors cried and struggled to maintain their composure. State law allows Laney to be committed to a maximum security state hospital. Medical evaluations will dictate when she will be released. She will remain at the Smith County Jail until a hearing regarding her transfer.
There was a follow-up to that that I heard, but I have no documentation.
Okay.
Which was that sitting in jail, she announced that she expected one of her children to resurrect on a certain date.
Mm-hmm.
Which is now come and gone.
It's a rumor I've heard, and I don't know for sure.
I heard that story. She expected both of her children to actually come and comfort her in her tribulations, I think is the phrasing.
Yeah.
Right.
So she's still a Christian.
And they don't mention whether she had gone to see The Passion of the Christ recently.
Right.
No mention.
No, she was in jail before it was released.
Really?
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure, because I remember hearing about the actual
story
attack.
Story broke before?
Yeah, well, I remember me and my dad listening to it, and he died last summer.
What?
You're sure her with the woman in Houston?
I believe this has been the third case.
Oh, really?
This was in the last few weeks.
Yeah, this is real recent.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't aware that there was somebody else who took three children out into the yard and killed them.
Huh.
Or attacked them with rocks.
Okay. Oh, maybe. Yeah. Don't know.
But boy.
God, that's so creepy. Well, that's what you get when you take a certain dogma and you drill it into people when they're too young to even consider it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right.
Should the church be held responsible for any of this?
No.
Aw. Well, if God spoke to her, it's conspiracy to commit murder.
Right.
Yeah.
See that big over there. Did they, did the court consider that she actually had a message from God to kill her children?
No. And, you've seen the movie, God, with Burns.
Mm-hmm.
George Burns. Which ends in the courtroom scene where God proves his existence to everybody in there. You never see one of those with, somebody who went and committed horrific crimes because God told them to. And then God shows up in the courtroom and says, yes, it's true, I told them to. Except there was the movie.
Lovable George Burns.
There was the movie about the weird serial killer guy who was in fact appointed by God. You haven't seen this film?
No, I haven't.
You
haven't.
Frailty is a horror film where the premise is that God exists and he really did all the stuff in the Old Testament, and that's still how he wants his special prophets here on earth to behave.
Right. The guy has like the axe of justice and the lead pipe of truth and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh God, isn't it like what Bible verse man has? He has his
I wouldn't be surprised.
So this guy, the first part of the movie is, all the story of this little kid whose father goes nuts and believes that he's been appointed by God to slay demons. And then he starts going out and capturing people, bringing them home and killing them and raises the kids to do it. And then at the end, you discover that not only is this story true, but the guy really is appointed by God and has magical superpowers.
So he was the second coming.
Physical,
yeah.
He's just a God-appointed warrior.
Yeah, the interesting point at the end is it's not any less creepy because you find out that it's really God doing it.
No, it's extra creepy.
In fact, it even turns out that the people he killed did actually do some things.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's still creepy.
Right. Because we no longer have, in our culture, we no longer have this idea that it's okay to be a vigilante, to go out and, you know, oh, that person did a crime that was bad, so I'll take the law into my own hands and just go kill them. Right? Which is terrible because, you know, I'd rather be out there in my superhero costume blasting people with my energy rays. It is a great fantasy, but
it's not reality.
But it's also
trusting in the judgment of the vigilantes to begin with.
Right.
That's right.
Right. Which is why we don't like vigilantes in real life.
You can see them in action in real life just by going to Colorado Springs, Arizona, where the Mormons have been taking care of, you know, running off the people who are not, have made themselves outcasts, I think is the way they phrase it.
Really?
Oh, come on. I believe we even talked about this a while back. They're running off the people, and then they're giving their wives and children to all the good members. But all the people who are the mayor, actually, he's the mayor almost in name only, but the person who made him mayor, the people who actually run the town, they just kick it together and they run you out if you're asking too many questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Colorado something. I know it wasn't Colorado Springs, actually. It was like Colorado City or something.
So anyway, that's a great film.
Yes, I strongly recommend it. It carries the nonprofit seal of approval.
In fact, if you get the DVD version, there are deleted scenes that put a much finer point on the message of the film. Where the little boy tries to get his father to stop by reading him Bible passages that say that you shouldn't kill. And the father has a snappy Christian, you know, apologetics answer for everyone.
Yeah. People in the chat room have started talking about Air America, and I'd like to join in.
All right, if
you don't mind.
Yeah. What about Air America?
Well, since we did our last show, Air America Radio, home of Al Franken, the new liberal talk show network, which is going to be popping up in states everywhere, we hope. Got their launch. I managed to listen to Al Franken every day since the first day.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of what you've heard from conservative commentators, and there have been plenty of conservative commentators to talk about it, most of the shows are great.
I agree.
And since we can't be here for you every day...
Now, wait a minute. The Atheist Network is here for him every day.
That's true. The Atheist Network is here, although they do a lot of reruns. But they have many fine shows.
Supposedly, they were going to have past episodes on demand from the Air America website, but I haven't seen them appear yet.
Okay. Eventually, I hope they will.
Yeah.
Presumably, they've been recording everything all along, so when they get their archives up, you will be able to go back and hear even the first few shows. The thing I like most is that you can turn on conservative talk radio now and, like, at any time you want to, within 15 minutes you'll hear somebody ranting about what a stupid idea Air America Radio is. And what seems the funniest is that while they're talking about it all the time, the number one criticism you hear about Air America Radio is nobody's going to pay any attention to it.
Why care?
Another objection that I've heard frequently is, oh, well, conservative shows just happen to be conservative, but they don't label themselves conservative, or networks don't label themselves conservative.
Okay.
That's a lie, Pee-wee. I mean, I just turned on the radio here in Austin, and there is a station here in Austin on AM they identify themselves as Austin's conservative voice. So that's just a lie.
One of them.
What?
One of Austin's conservative voices.
My point is the station is presenting itself that way and having a pre-existing bias, you know, which is fine. It's honest. And that is the best argument for Air America doing it.
Yeah.
A lot of Christian conservative shows don't
separate them.
Clearly label themselves like that, and that is not That is not.
Yeah, well, you know what I think is really funny is when you hear a conservative talk show host saying, and I swear they all say this, so this must have come down as one of the talking points somewhere along the line.
Uh-huh.
They all take on this incredibly wise tone of voice, and they say, you know, what these liberals don't get is that and more than just having an agenda, your show has to be entertaining.
Ah.
You see?
Good.
Like,
great.
God, I didn't realize
like
that.
Al Franken isn't entertaining? Gene Garofalo isn't entertaining? I don't think
which
so.
Is especially funny coming from them, because when was the last time you heard them say something that was actually funny?
Right.
I mean...
Right.
I don't listen to these people, but I can tell you in print, they bomb.
Yeah.
They don't have a humor nerve in their body.
I mean, let's be honest here. They're only successful because you have Clear Channel buying up all the stations all over the country and pushing them into markets.
Speaking
everywhere.
Of Clear Channel.
Okay.
The FCC has fined Clear Channel for $495,000 for a single Howard Stern broadcast that it considered indecent. It has also opened an investigation into Infinity Broadcasting over the same show. Though the FCC initially only received a complaint about one station, it elected to fine Clear Channel for every station in the network of stations that carried the show, with Commissioner Michael J. Kopp saying, "The commission makes it clear that its indecency enforcement will address not only the station that is the subject of the complaint, but also any other station that aired the same programming." Howard Stern believes the fines are politically motivated and posted a statement on his website. Here's Howard Stern's statement. "This is not a surprise. This is a follow-up to the Mark McCarthy-type witch hunt of the administration and the activities of this group of presidential appointees in the FCC, led by Colin Powell Jr. and his band of players. They and others, a senator from Kansas City to a congresswoman from New Mexico, are expressing and imposing their opinions and rights to tell us all who and what..." This is badly written. "Who and what we may listen to and watch and how we should think about our lives. So this is not a surprise. It is pretty shocking that governmental interference into our rights and free speech takes place in the U.S. It's hard to reconcile this with the land of the free and the home of the brave. I'm sure what's next is the removal of dirty pictures like the 20th century German exhibit in the New York Museum and the erotic literature in our libraries. They, too, will fall into their category of evil as well." Stern also pointed out that the transcript of the offending show was no more offensive than similar conversations held on the Oprah Winfrey Show. But the commission decided to go after him and not after Oprah, saying, "If they fine me, they gotta fine Oprah, the darling of the world. He told his listeners how to complain about the horrors of Oprah, and now the FCC is investigating her as well." Mm-hmm.
That part I'd heard.
The offending material in the Howard Stern show was a discussion of receiving oral sex while on the toilet using a completely made-up word, which Stern described by saying, "A blumpkin is receiving oral sex while you're sitting on a toilet bowl if you are a man. You're sitting on a toilet bowl and, while you're evacuating, you receive your oral." To which co-host Robin Quivers thoughtfully replied, "Ick."
Oh, she... normally I would expect her to reply...
Clear Channel has dropped the Howard Stern show. Clear Channel president John Hogan said, "Mr. Stern's show has created a great liability for us and other broadcasters who air it. The Congress and the FCC are even beginning to look at revoking station licenses. That's a risk we're just not willing to take."
Who the hell listens to Howard Stern and doesn't expect to hear ick?
Stern believes the focus on his show is a result of his recent criticisms of Bush. He recently told his audience, "You've got to vote Bush out to send a message as a Howard Stern fan. There's a cultural war going on. The religious right is winning. We're losing." According to the Tri-Valley Herald, Clear Channel's Political Action Committee has donated $265,800 to Republican candidates for the 2004 election, more than any other broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Which, of course, guarantees that all these Bible shows where they go on about the incest of Lot's daughters and all the murders, well, they're never going to get censored. Even though
they whipped the Easter Bunny.
Yeah, it's a thousand
in front of a crowd of children.
Going to come up with.
Howard Stern talked about oral sex on the toilet.
Which is disgusting, by the way. God, what a nasty man.
But as this is one thing that bothers me about us liberals. I'm assuming we all are. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay, it's we liberals.
Yep, we liberals. Thank you. Howard Stern, offensive as he intentionally is exactly the sort of person we're supposed to be defending.
Right. We're just like the ACLU.
And taking this back to Air America, I was listening to one of their programs. I forget the name of the guy. It's not Randy Rhodes. It's the guy.
The guy in the morning or the afternoon?
Afternoon guy.
The guy who sort of sounds like Rush Limbaugh a little bit.
Yeah, that guy.
Ed something,
right.
Schwartz. No.
Whatever. Ed.
Okay.
He was talking about this and basically came out against Howard Stern. Why do we do that to ourselves?
Well, you can be against Stern, but also be even more vehemently against the FCC and their actions. Because if you're going to just walk in knee-jerk step with everybody else without thinking about your position and defending Stern just because he happens to be liberal, then you're no better than these conservatives.
The thing I notice is that part of a tenet of liberalism, I think, is accepting the thing that Voltaire said, which was something like, I don't agree with what you say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it.
Yeah.
I actually threw a quote out there and to a message board one time, and conservatives dogpile it, saying, what a stupid thing to say, which made me realize it's a very liberal value.
Right.
To defend people you don't agree with for their right to say things.
Right. The way that
liberals
we're for
often,
rights.
Liberals often get beaten on because they'll defend things that are unpopular.
And
you do sometimes have to make the separation that, no, I'm not saying that I agree with the neo-Nazis. I'm just saying they have the right to put their stuff out there.
Right, defending the principle.
I'm not
the
comparing
actor.
Howard Stern to neo-Nazis.
Right.
But it's okay not to be on the same page as Howard Stern, but still agree that it's wrong for him to get kicked off for political speech.
But I don't think these are at all related. I mean, yes, the ACLU defends people who say really horrible things or promote really horrible viewpoints, right?
Mm-hmm.
Howard Stern is just talking about things that people find icky. That's it. It's not like he's going out there saying, you know, yes, we white people really are the superior race, and we ought to round up all non-white people and make them our slaves or exterminate them. I mean, he says nothing like that. He says nothing overt to promote behaviors that would be dangerous.
He talks about minority things.
What?
That's according to you. The what you find ick, the conservatives would probably find, oh, that's horrible. It will destroy our culture.
Right.
It will destroy our society.
And I think looking at this mimetically.
They're wrong, but.
But looking at this mimetically, I think one of the ways conservatism survives and thrives is by it is the viewpoint that appoints itself the
guardian of today's society.
The guardian of morality. They are the ones who decide what you can talk about. Who the hell ever said you can't talk about sex? Well,
the FCC.
But who told them? Where did they get the idea? It's not like it's some physical law that, it's religion that establishes these things in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And they succeed when they get us to really be bothered by the stuff they have set aside and said, you can't talk about that stuff.
Well, no, wait, you're conflating two things. I didn't say that Stern should not talk about that. I personally think it's absolutely incredibly disgusting. I'm sure other people have
other
opinions.
I don't think I'm blaming you personally.
No,
but
not
I do
not
know
that.
There, Okay, go ahead.
No, I mean, just because a person happens to find a particular idea disgusting does not mean that he or she supports the censoring of the idea.
Yeah.
Like, I've never listened to Stern because I know how to use a freaking on-off switch, and I don't have to listen to him.
Right.
And I assume it's because I've heard about things like what you just described is why I've never had an urge to listen to him. But I don't think he should be off the air. I'm sure there are people who find him very amusing.
Right.
See, that's the difference. I'm not against that talk. I'm just against media.
That is the way conservatism has largely become even more in the last few years, which is if you say something they don't like, they don't argue about it. They go, get this guy off the air. Keep this guy from saying what he says.
Protect us from practicing self-control.
You know, boycott so-and-so, boycott the Dixie Chicks, never buy a Dixie Chicks album again because they said something bad against President Bush. You know, even like with the Al Franken feedback from people who have not even heard the show, I've heard a lot of people saying, ha ha, you know, nobody ever listens to Al Franken, trying to sort of seed that idea out there.
Right. Right.
Even though, and I've got some statistics.
Oh yeah?
People talking all week about how nobody was going to give a damn about Air America Radio.
Yeah.
On Google Zeitgeist, where you can see what the most popular searches have been, Air America Radio was the number two most popular search all week.
Wow.
On day one of
Where's their nonprofits?
Never mind.
Just checking.
I don't think you want to know. On day one of the show, there were 50,000 unique streams coming from Real Networks. That was the very first day, and it was – no, that was just Al Franken's show on the very first day. They got 350,000 unique visitors the entire day and something like 2 million unique visitors the first week.
Woo! All right.
Yeah.
They have these stats on the website for the O'Franken Factor, too, just OFrankenFactor.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they want you to believe that nobody else is going to listen to this because they want you to feel – they want people who oppose them to feel isolated.
Well, blackmail is the only tool in the arsenal when you get right down to it. Either God's going to stomp you or a contractor is going to pull out and not build your building or we're going to take away your FCC license.
Yeah. So, I was gonna give an example of anti-Howard Stern prejudice that reared its ugly head in the ACA. Okay. Howard Stern is an atheist. He is one of us. He just, does not toe the line on the question of what it is okay to talk about. And the line which, by the way, does not originate with liberals. It's a line that originates with conservatives. And yet they get us to buy into it.
Into what?
Into the idea that, for example, that talking about sex is bad.
No! I don't buy that.
I don't mean us personally. I'm not talking about individuals here. I'm talking about liberals in general who will then bail and not defend Howard Stern. Not merely his right to say what he's saying, but to say, you know, the very idea that the kind of stuff he talks about is bad to talk about is itself ridiculous.
So liberals are doing that.
Do you have an explicit example?
Yes. I was going to give an example.
Okay, please do.
A couple of years ago, we kicked around the idea for doing an Atheist of the Year award. And Howard Stern's name came up. A very large number of members of the ACA Board of Directors objected, not because Howard Stern had not been an outspoken criticism of religion, right, an outspoken supporter of rationalism, but because he talks about titties. The idea that should stand in the way of recognizing the guy as
an outspoken proponent of rationalism.
You don't listen to the show, so you don't.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
A proponent of rationalism.
Yeah.
So, and as far as I'm concerned, conservatism has done that to us. It's saddled, when I say us, I'm talking broadly now, right? Not individuals. Broadly. That has saddled liberals with this embarrassment of supporting one another when there are those amongst us who are not gonna let our language be dictated and constrained by the rules that they've set up about what's okay to talk about.
Conservatives are the people who set up propriety.
Yeah.
That's it. And so, and for some reason, everybody has to toe that line to be considered real.
And I am of the opinion that we should make an active effort to destroy that line. I
agree.
How so? How would you go about that?
By talking about titties on my radio show.
We've
done that.
How about testicles?
Testicles?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah,
it's all fair game.
Sure. So what do you think about
that? He was just naming his face.
They're quite overrated.
Titties and testicles, threat or menace?
We have done a great many shows. We talked about dildo laws here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is no subject that I think is inappropriate to talk about on this show.
Karen and I refused to talk about incest when we were on the same show.
And I think that was a terrible thing because it was a great opportunity. It's just like when we talk about, African-American issues on the show, and we have no African-Americans here, it seems like we're wasting our time. Well, when we have a brother and sister, that is exactly the time to talk about incest.
Talk to somebody else who knows about that.
And given the makeup of the table, can we go into male homosexuality?
Sure.
Sure.
What about it?
I don't know. What are y'all's thoughts?
I'm for it.
I don't care.
I'm not against it.
And that's another thing, by the way. I think that a lot of the best humor comes out of completely ignoring those lines.
Yeah.
And just talking about whatever the hell pops into your head. And that's why I think that when the conservatives criticize liberal radio and say that's not going to be entertaining, they're completely full of it.
Yeah.
As long as the liberals do in the show recognize that they should not feel constrained by the artificial limitations on language that conservatives have foisted on us.
That's right. By the way, quick chat room updates.
Yeah?
Somebody asked what the number one most popular Google search was, and the answer was, any guesses?
Sex.
No.
Sex.
No, what?
Hellboy.
Hellboy.
Oh, what?
Hellboy's huge, man.
Overcame sex?
And somebody now claims,
on sex anymore. I don't think so, yeah.
And somebody now claims that while listening to the show, they have turned from a newt into a human. So that is a genuine miracle.
All right.
Wow.
Somebody got better. Awesome.
Talked up to our show in just an hour. Thank you very much.
By the way, we could take this opportunity to have a little quick vote on the message boards. We'll take votes on titties versus testicles. Everybody on the message board, vote for one or the other. Russell will compile the votes.
Which do you support, right? Then we can break them into jockstraps and brassieres.
Yeah.
So it's like, which camp?
No further explanation, just vote for one or the other. All right. So,
okay. Strangely, Jeff D. has taught me a lot about adult toys.
which is freakish, because I don't really know that much about them. But I'd love to. Okay, shall we do more news? Okay.
He says do.
Okay. I guess we will. Come on, Russell.
Hey. No, that's no good. I have some reader mail, actually.
Sure.
Luke LaTulip says, I listen to your show all the time up here in Vancouver, and I love it. Thanks for doing this and adding your voice. Any chance the folks at Air America might give you a show with them, too? Nationwide Atheism. Woohoo! And my answer to him was, Luke, if you want us to get on the Air America radio, and we wouldn't object, send your fan mail to them.
Right.
Go to the Air America website. I'm serious here. If anybody listening to this show would like to, go to the Air America radio website. You can only contact them right now by snail mail, but that's probably the most effective way to get them to pay attention to you anyway. Send them a letter and say, listen to this show, the nonprofits. He also mentions, my mother sent me this link to a video on www.preservemarriage.org because she was appalled by it, not because she thought it was a good thing.
Oh,
I watched it right before the show. It's basically a bunch of still shots of like images of people and a voiceover the whole time whining about what a horrible thing homosexuals are doing to the
country.
Is it
pictures of gay people doing gay sex?
I didn't pay that much attention to the pictures.
I think you would have noticed.
No, not actually doing the gay sex.
Okay, good.
I think it had pictures of, like, happy families,
right.
happy heterosexual families, who would presumably be the threatened one.
Who would presumably have been torn apart and threatened by, oh, I don't know, what? Homosexual marriage.
Anyway, if you want to spend 20 minutes of your life that you'll never get back, again, that site is preservemarriage.org. I just turned it on and walked away and cleaned
right.
the kitchen while
yeah.
it was playing. We also got a show from regular listener Zarathustra.
Who email,
wrote,
you mean?
Yes. What did I say?
A show. You said we got a show.
A message,
from
an email saying, happy to report that a local theater near the University of Southern of South Carolina campus.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the first vote, the first two votes.
Oh, no.
Three votes. Okay, hold it. Now,
it
Boobies
like
is not on the list.
Getting a
Heavenly
flag.
Fodder, you're going to have to. You're going to have to vote again because we're not – it's either or.
Okay.
Titties or testicles. Titties are in the lead.
Very much so. Sorry, Linda.
And titties are in the lead. Coming around the corner.
Zarathustra says that near the University of Southern Carolina campus, a theater showed The Life of Brian on one screen while showing The Passion of Christ on the other. Okay. That's
all
very
right.
interesting.
That's right. Life of Brian is showing.
Is it? Has it started?
I don't know if it's. I don't know. I need to check the theater to see if it's showing in town because we all got to go, man.
Some people on AA were referring to this yesterday as Life of Brian Friday, so I assumed it had started yesterday.
All right. All right. Cool.
All right. Great. We should go.
We should go.
I
don't know. I tried to watch that movie and I was bored senseless by it.
Just don't get that.
First
huge
kill me.
Yeah, that's right. You don't get that English humor, but oh. It's
but speaking of that, the website Preserve Marriage, blah blah. There is a further effect that the conservative right achieves by demonizing certain kinds of behaviors,
mm-hmm.
and that is it is a product that they are creating. Because they can then go back to their followers and say, remember that thing, that gay sex thing that we told you was so bad? Well, give us a bunch of money and we'll fight it.
Buy
right?
your preservemarriage.org t-shirts
they create,
today.
That is a way of creating a problem out of nothing that they can then use to suck money out of their
right.
own flock.
But also, the way they absolutely rape the language by using phrases like preserve marriage, restore the Constitution.
Uh-huh.
You can
yeah.
with the
oh,
Constitution
sure.
Restoration
oh, sure. They've
Act.
Got to spin it. They've got to spin it that they are in the right, right?
Oh,
that
absolutely.
They're doing the right thing. That's part of the whole
right.
money.
I remember another
right.
thing they said now, which is, you know, the homosexuals want to take the rights away from the voters by not letting them vote on whether we should
oh,
prevent them from
God.
Marrying or not.
Twisted.
Which,
yeah.
Wow.
Twisted logic.
But again, bringing this back to what I was saying before, if everybody was just comfortable with the existence of gay sex, that would deprive the conservative right of a product.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right?
true.
That is doing the mimetic equivalent of destroying the market for
stupid,
programs,
boneheaded ideas.
For the market for programs to oppose gay sex.
Right.
Because nobody would care.
Yeah,
the more we can get people to not care about the kind of crap that they want people to care about, the more we deny them money-making opportunities.
Mm, good point.
And we keep, one by one, we're taking all the enemies away from them that they had to fight. Right now, they're down to pretty much nothing but homosexuals and atheists.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we can fend for ourselves, right?
Because communism collapsed.
Until Jesus comes and slays the flesh from our bodies.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
But he'll have testicles, so he may not be effective.
Do we have a single vote for testicles yet?
We have one vote for both, but everybody else has voted for titties.
I'm sorry, there's no both. Or pick one.
So, basically, titties won in a landslide.
Titties in a landslide. Okay, thank you, folks.
Although, you know, taking a cue from the American president, I don't want to count the votes too early.
Perhaps those in Florida didn't understand the rules of the... Oh, never mind.
Brian wants us to plug the pro-choice rally again, saying infidel guy will be there.
Yeah, you know what? I think that is absolutely right. We should promote stuff like that. But the time to be reminded to promote stuff like that is not during the middle of our show.
It's actually earlier. It's probably before the show would
be a better
idea.
The show, Brian, in future, what we need you to do is email us in advance so we can have all of our ducks in a row when we go to promote something and not kind of babble inanely like I did last time when you suggested we promote that and I kind of stumbled over my words saying, yeah, that was great, when I really had no idea what I was talking about.
Good thinking.
One poor Spalding high school student in a broadcasting TV assignment sent through the school said the Pledge of Allegiance. Being an atheist, he left out our two most favorite words and was severely punished. Yes. According to the News Tribune, Kenny Hess was punished for using school equipment for delivering a personal message. And was banned from further TV productions for the duration of the school year.
What?
According to a Bethel School District spokesman, quote, he made a poor choice, unquote. All he did was he said the Pledge of Allegiance without under God in it.
Right.
That is what he did.
He restored the pledge.
Uh-huh. Could it be that Michael Newdow is right about the pledge being abusive? Kenny was an atheist. To say the pledge would contradict his values on God. Furthermore, to say that his pledge was a personal message is an absolute lie. Although the FCC clearly does not like the... this is from a website called, like, morons.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a blog, so that's why this is written in a very, you know, non-professional kind of way.
Yeah.
Although the FCC clearly does not like the use of airwaves to direct a personal message to anyone, there must be a two-party run in that line. Hess sure wasn't expressing any personal message on the air, that's for sure. So what's left? He could say he was making an opinion, stating an opinion that was bad, but that violates the idea of free speech.
But he wasn't stating an opinion.
No, it wasn't an opinion. All he did was he broadcast the pledge without under God in it.
Actually, if this is the same, I'm assuming this is the same thing I read about myself earlier. The FCC and the word broadcast are incorrect because it was entirely in-school, closed-circuit television.
Yeah, I stopped.
It was not actually broadcast.
I stopped reading this story at that point because I don't think the person who wrote it really knew what they were talking about.
Okay.
But the issue is, there's this real high school student who really used school equipment to broadcast the Pledge of Allegiance, at least within the school, without the words under God, and he got punished.
And he managed to do it without busting the Constitution. Good for him.
He didn't burst into flames or... Huh? Yeah?
I have to throw something in before we run out of time.
Hey!
We have found, thanks to, I think, BNM about half an hour ago, a place where you can get archived shows from Air America Radio.
Ooh, cool.
It's done privately. They say at the bottom of the page, this site is in no way affiliated with Air America Radio, which once again is airamericaradio.com. The archive site is airamericaplace.com.
Yeah, but I want to remind all of our listeners, please don't let your listening to to Air America cut into your very important support of atheistnetwork.com.
Because, that's right.
You know, Reggie and the boys need your support as well.
But that's why you get why the archives are good.
That's
so
right.
So that
because,
you are not forced to choose between listening to a show on one or the other.
That's right. Listen to everything. Okay. How much time we got?
Two
minutes. Well, just a quick thing then. A study at UCLA found that 75% of the participating students said religious or spiritual beliefs play an important part in helping form their identity, but it also reported the number of students who marked none as their religious preference had increased to a record high of 17.6%.
Excellent.
So it's going up.
We're still a minority, but...
Yeah.
And, of course, the Christians would jump on comments like religious or spiritual and claim them for themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
But people are less scared, you're saying,
and
of actually calling themselves non-believers.
We need more religion.
Right. That's the impression.
Yes, that's some
certainly
kind of
a good thing.
Well,
as if there was a problem.
This has been a rollicking show.
Yeah.
And thanks, everybody, for being on the show.
Sure.
Always appreciate it. That was great.
Who?
Dennis, what City of Heroes character were you playing this morning that made you late?
It wasn't this morning. It was last night, which means I got to bed at like 4:30 or something like that.
Was it the Crimson Stranger?
Yes. No, it was a new one.
Yeah.
Doc Futurian. So, yeah.
Doc Futurian.
Yeah. Very retro costume. Very nice.
I made, okay. We're running out of time. We'll tell you more about City of Heroes next time. Linda, thank you very much.
Oh, we can't
Bye,
wait.
Everyone.